Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to do some NFL draft today because we don't do it every day. And less is more on that front. Steve Palazzolo with Pro Football Focus, senior analyst. We're not just putting anybody on about the draft. Steve's really good. And we'll talk with Steve about the Cardinals and what they should do at 13. You know, as I sit here today, I could go a lot of different directions. I'm not married to the idea of one position in particular. John Ross, a wide receiver at Washington, sure, that makes a lot of sense. Speed burner, you look at Larry Fitzgerald towards the end, you look at that Michael Floyd's no longer here. You can't tell me with certainty that John Brown is going to return. You may say he's going to return, but you just don't know. You could look at cornerback opposite of Patrick Peterson and say that the Cardinals need to definitely address that area. You could look at the defensive line and say, why not bolster that spot even more so? Championships are won on defense. You could look at the quarterbacks and say, you know, if this quarterback is, if Patrick Mahomes is there at 13 and his sports attorney, Lee Steinberg, was with us a couple weeks ago and did not dispel the idea that the Cardinals are interested in his client. You could make that argument. You could certainly make that argument. I think there's a wild card in this year's draft, too, that I want to talk to Steve about, and that's Christian McCaffrey. Those of you that have watched this show longer than a week or two know that I'm very much in the camp of McCaffrey and that I like what he's all about. And you'll say, well, we have David Johnson. Well, you do have David Johnson, but last time I checked, Christian McCaffrey can be all over the field. Christian McCaffrey can be Darren Sproles, except even better. And if you're of the mindset that I am, that there's only so much tread on the tire of running backs, why not take a kid like McCaffrey and say, you know, we can do all sorts of things with him. He is the absolute wild card, absolute joker, absolute whatever you want to call him out on the football field. Why not look at Christian McCaffrey? And that's not going to be a bad answer, in my opinion. So we're going to talk to Steve about all those things, the quarterbacks, McCaffrey, and others. And the quarterback that he thinks makes the most sense for what Bruce Arians is trying to accomplish. The draft is a couple of weeks away, so we'll get into that. Last night I went out to a community event. My son had club basketball practice, and those of you that have watched this show know that I'm very much involved in what's going on around the Valley, and it doesn't matter if it's pro, college, or high school. If I see something, I feel like, you know, just check it out. So Hamilton High School has been involved in this big hazing deal. I have no dog in the fight. My kids do not go there. I live out there, so I know a lot of the parties involved. And I went to this community event last night. It was a night that was supposed to be about healing. I think there was some of that off of the hazing, arrest, prosecution, things along those lines that should have nothing at all to do with high school sports. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. I think the story of the day, I watched the Diamondbacks game yesterday afternoon, and they were awful. Taiwan Walker was awful. The Buster Posey play from yesterday set the tone. I mean, and this was ugly. This was not pretty at all. I think we have this. This was not pretty at all what happened with Posey. And so this pitch got away from Taiwan Walker. And initially I'm thinking, well, this is going to be really bad. This is a star player. And he gets knocked down. He had to leave the game. It was a scary situation. That's the only way to put it. This is one of the star players of the game. And by the way, the Diamondbacks and Giants have had their dust-ups in the past. I was fully expecting to see something a little bit later on in the game. David Peralta did get drilled in the eighth inning, I do believe it was, when I was watching. But the Diamondbacks didn't play well, and they threw Walker threw the ball over the place on one play. And so the Posey play, the Walker play, Tomas hit a home run, and the Diamondbacks lose their second game of the year. They lose the Giants 4-1. They have Robbie Ray on the mound tonight. I think the bigger story, though, is this quick start by the Diamondbacks. And I could be wrong on this. I was going to write about it. Are we finally getting out of the abyss that has been this long, drawn out, over several years, just awful run of professional and college sports teams here in the Valley? Outside of the Cardinals having their runs, but even the way their runs ended when they got absolutely destroyed by Carolina a year ago. I mean, yeah, you had a great run, and then you just got annihilated, and then the next year you didn't do anything. So it's not been good. consistently good. Now, the baseball team has been an embarrassment on the field. They fire general managers and managers like a turnstile pace. The Suns have been an embarrassment in the way that that organization has just gone from being the creme de la creme down to scraps on a plate at the local Waffle House. You know, it's just been embarrassing to see where that thing has gone. And the hockey team, until they get their building situation figured out or they move, and most people believe that they're going to move, but I've been hearing that for years and years and years. So the relevancy of the hockey team, other than you diehards, it's hard to put anything around it. It's fun to watch the kids play. People aren't doing it in mass. It's the other night, my daughter went to see them play their season finale against the Wild. And she sent me a text with a couple pictures that said, this place is nothing but Minnesota Wild fan. That's it. There's nobody that's here to watch the Coyotes, or very few people. And that shouldn't be the case. We should not be building buildings to make it for outsiders to come sit in our facilities to root for their teams that don't live here, that don't play here. But are we starting to finally come out of the abyss? Are we starting to finally figure it out? I mentioned this briefly to Paula yesterday in our weekly segment, and some of you followed up on it, and that is, we have not heard or seen anything really out of Ken Kendrick or Derek Hall with the Diamondbacks. I happen to like both those guys. I think they do some good things, but it is best served for them to be out of sight, out of mind right now, because it just goes back to buildings in previous regimes. That's just a fact. That's what I'm hearing around town. The hockey team, I think most people couldn't tell you they have a wonder kid as their GM. And Dave Tippett is still there. Every year, I fear that this is the year that Dave Tippett's going to say, I have had enough of this. I'm a really good coach. And I've just had enough of banging my head against the wall and losing people. And it's just time for me to move on. And hopefully that doesn't happen with Coach Tippett, because I really think Dave's a good man and a good hockey man. And that a few years back when there was a commitment, it looked like the building was in shape. Guess what? They made a nice long run. But in the NHL, they fire guys right and left. So I think there's something there. If you're Robert Sarver, are you upset that Earl Watson is coaching to win? I think it's a very fair question to ask. You've come this far over the last 2 months to lose and lose and lose and lose. And well, all of a sudden, you've won a couple of games here. And these are the last games of the season. Does Earl Watson say, I'm going to go down my way? Like, there really shouldn't be any conversation about whether or not Earl Watson comes back to be the head coach of the Suns. But unfortunately, because we're sitting here with an owner that has an itchy trigger finger and things are always cyclical here. And I think of the teams that are here in town right now, the one that I look at and say, I'm not quite sure if they've turned the corner. And maybe none of them have in your view. Maybe in your view, it's, look, Brad, they're a 6-2 baseball team that didn't play well yesterday. Look, Brad, it's the NBA. It just really doesn't matter. The level of effort by teams night in and night out, it's hard to tell whether the Suns are still miles and miles away or if they're really close to breaking through next year. The Suns have had 15 games where they have led by 10 points or more in the second half of games this season. They've lost all 15 of those games. 15 games, second half of games, leading by 10, they've lost all of them. Now, does that tell you that they're that close? I can't tell you how many of those games had Bledsoe and Tyson Chandler on the floor or didn't have them on the floor, or Brandon Knight. I don't think Brandon Knight's made a difference. You know, to me, where I see people saying Eric Bledsoe's been the MVP of this team this year, no, I disagree with that. It's Devin Booker. Eric Bledsoe has done nothing except enhance his trade value to get out of here to push them over the top. That's it from my view. So the Suns play Sacramento tonight. It's a game that unfortunately they may be able to win. They would be smart to say Devin Booker's got the flu and TJ Warren's got an ankle that's bothering him and so on and so forth and just go up to Sacramento and get their doors blown off. They would be smart to do that. I saw where Miami beat Cleveland last night, and I'm bringing this up because I think there's another topic here too that I want to get into later in the show. And that is the NBA trying to find a balance of players not playing in games, a topic that's been beat on unmercifully for the last 3 weeks. But some smarter minds are starting to wonder about whether you do a one-game playoff, if you shorten up the playoffs, charge a bigger number in rights fees, thus the NBA is not losing money because the owners are going to say, at the end of the day, we can't lose money. So I want to get into that a little bit later on in the show too, because I do think there's something to that. And the Mavericks did do their Tony Romo tribute. I talked to Eric about this yesterday. I wanted to see how this would play out. And I'm going to have some thoughts on that later in the show as well. But up next, we'll turn our attention to the NFL draft. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, senior analyst. Check us in on the Cardinals, the NFL draft just a couple of weeks away. We'll do a deep dive with him and then more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Let's focus in now on the NFL draft a little bit closer, a couple of weeks away now for the Arizona Cardinals, 13th pick among many for Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst, Pro Football Focus. We have cited Pro Football Focus and talked quite a bit about them and the great job they do as they join us now to look towards this draft. Steve, 13th pick overall. If you're Bruce Arians and you're Steve Keim, what makes the most sense from your point of view for the Cardinals to do here in Arizona in the draft?
Well, there's a few different ways to go. I think this draft is really deep at cornerback and safety. And I think, you know, with Arizona, with Patrick Peterson on one side and, you know, kind of still trying to figure out that number two cornerback spot, I think that's definitely a place to look. The way the draft's shaping up, I think there's a few guys potentially available. Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is the consensus top cornerback, but there's other good players. His teammate, Garyon Conley, out of Ohio State. There's some lesser names, guys like Jordan Lewis out of Michigan, who I think will be available a little bit later because of various issues. But it's a loaded cornerback class, and whether you grab somebody in the first round or the second or third round, I definitely think that's a need that Arizona will be able to fill. And then I think the wide receivers will be tempting with Larry Fitzgerald getting a little bit older, and certainly the speed factor that Arizona loves. They love that deep passing game. I think keeping an eye on a guy like John Ross from Washington at that spot, very important because he could just add another big play component to that passing game. And then, of course, the quarterback situation. Is this draft where Arizona gets their QB of the future? It might be worth taking a look at that quarterback. I would say more in the second round rather than the first, but you never know given the situation with Carson Palmer getting older. Is this the time to go get the next guy?
Let's go deeper then at wide receiver first and foremost. You talk about John Ross. Go a little deep dive on him. Mike Williams' name has been thrown out here as well. Let's talk those two receivers.
Yeah, Ross is the speed guy. I mean, DeSean Jackson is the guy that he's been compared to. I think it's a very fair comparison. He can get behind the defense. He's shifty. He's so smooth off the line of scrimmage. Question for him are the injury concerns, trying to, you know, him staying healthy, staying on the field, but ran a 4.22 at the combine, and that speed definitely shows up on tape. Mike Williams, a completely different type of receiver, big-bodied, 6'3 plus, physical, really knows how to win at the catch point. That's his big selling point. He can win. You know, Arizona loves to run the post route. He can win on those posts, slant, knows how to use his body, move the chains, and then he has really good downfield body control to add a deep element to the game as well. And then I would throw Corey Davis out of Western Michigan into that mix. I think all three are first-round receivers. Davis is the best route runner of the group. He's really good at getting open at the short and intermediate level. Can do a little bit down the field, but his game is just getting open and adding that intermediate threat to any offense.
Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst, Pro Football Focus. Dive in on the quarterbacks then. A lot around Mahomes, a lot around Watson. You could trade back. Which way does it look from your view, Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, could go if it is a QB in the first round? Then if it's the second round, which direction?
Yeah, it's an interesting quarterback class because I think all of these guys certainly come with their question marks, but I think in the right fit, they can succeed. I think from a pure fit standpoint, I would look more to those bigger armed guys like Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech and DeShone Kizer out of Notre Dame. I think Mahomes will probably be gone by the second round. I think Kizer should be available in the second round. So you just have to weigh that risk reward. Mahomes has the big arm, as I mentioned, and just has a really good feel for making plays outside of the structure of the offense. Can really move around the pocket, find open receivers, has a great feel for the game. The question with him is, can he win within structure? Can you, you know, push him to win within the flow of the offense? With Kizer, it's really a consistency issue. If you watch, you know, the Texas game, Michigan State game, that guy makes NFL throws that not a lot of guys in this class can make, but it's a consistency issue for Kizer. Week to week, you don't know what you're going to get, but he has all the tools. He's only 20 years old, and I think he's the type of guy that is a good fit to maybe sit behind Carson Palmer, see if he can develop, and if it doesn't, yeah, but do that in the second round. I think he's certainly worth the risk. Deshaun Watson, I don't know if he's a great fit for the offense as far as the way that Arizona likes to drive the ball down the field. And then Mitchell Trubisky from UNC, I don't know if he's going to last to 13, but I think he has probably the best all-around skill set in the draft, but he only has the 1 year starting at UNC, but certainly showed that he could be an NFL quarterback with all of his traits.
Wild card pick at 13, you have one? I've got a name I'll throw by you, and it may scratch your head, but David Johnson, terrific at running back, but Christian McCaffrey and Bruce Arians offense can do an awful lot of things. They're talking about moving Andre Ellington out to wide receiver. I don't think that's a great fit myself, just personal opinion. But could McCaffrey, whether it be Arizona or elsewhere, be a top 15, top 10 guy in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, on MMQB today, I was asked along with some other draft analysts where we think he's going to fall. And I was the lowest on him. And I like McCaffrey a lot. I said he was going to go by 19. Everybody else had him top 10, top 15. So I think the hype is real on Christian McCaffrey. The point I've made on him in the past, if he was a wide receiver only, I think he's a second-round type of player. I think he's a guy that you trust to win in the slot, to win outside, create mismatches. But he's an excellent runner as well. He's got very good patience, ran that power scheme at Stanford to perfection. He can run in zone because he's got such good change of direction. I think he can run every single run concept extremely well. He can win on the outside as a mismatch type of option, and it's just a great fit for an offense that's going to use him as that multifaceted weapon, a guy that can win all over the place. I don't know if Arizona's the landing spot, because ultimately he's still a running back. He's still a guy that you have to slot in there with David Johnson. But as far as creating mismatches, Bruce Arians would have a ball with McCaffrey, who I think is just an excellent all-around player.
Any other wild cards at 13 you look at and say, Brad, this is somebody that we haven't talked about but might be a fit there for Arizona?
I think you're in a position where you can always add a little bit more edge rush. I know you've got Chandler Jones, there's Marcus Golden, but it's a draft that's deep at edge rusher, and if you have a guy like Carl Lawson on the board, if a Solomon Thomas fell, I know he's getting much higher top five type of hype, but I still think he's a guy that I would slot a little bit lower.
Right.
I think both of those guys would be intriguing names. The other name to look at, Malik McDowell out of Michigan State, similar body type to Calais Campbell, that long, lean interior pass rusher. There's some off-field concerns and effort concerns with McDowell, but he has not played his best football yet. He's played very good football, but he has not played his best football yet, and he has this great frame to fill out and become a disruptor on the interior. It'd be interesting to see McDowell as almost a Calais Campbell type of replacement.
Steve, appreciate the insight. Great stuff. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Let's circle back on Steve Palazzolo. I was thinking about this during the break. So, Eric, if they took Christian McCaffrey, would we be looking at each other like, why would they do that when they have so many other needs? Would you be befuddled by that move if they went that way?
I wouldn't hate it. I think there is a bigger need to be addressed, like getting another cornerback. But I wouldn't hate it, because he can play everywhere. He is a running back, but he plays like a wide receiver, and he's...
Well, Steve's comment about him playing different positions with Bruce Arians,
sure,
is fascinating.
No,
isn't it?
And I mean, the return game, I mean, it gave them another weapon to return punts and kicks.
Which was awful last year.
Well,
right?
A lot of that was because Smoke was hurt.
Smoke was hurt, but these people that say, well, John Brown, like I've heard John Brown's going to be just fine this year. Nobody knows that with what he's gone through. Nobody can make that claim. That's just selling false hope. I got tired of seeing Andre Ellington get the ball and get whacked at the 15 last year. I was just done with that. And Patrick Peterson just doesn't need to be out on the field for teams anymore.
And I think Christian McCaffrey wants to be a great NFL player.
Sure.
He wants to be.
Well,
a lot of players say they want to be.
Yeah.
He's going to prove that he wants to be, because he has the work ethic. He has the NFL bloodlines from his dad. His little brother is a great high school quarterback. And you just see he's just the typical Stanford, I'm going to bust my butt and I'm going to give it everything I have. And I just foresee him. I don't know if he's going to be an elite star, but he's going to be a guy that's going to play in the league for a long time.
See, I think if they take a quarterback, there's going to be a lot of people jumping up and down for joy, because there's this palpable, I want to say hate, but distrust in Carson Palmer to finally win games way down the line and get them to the Super Bowl. There is that. Anybody who says there's not is kidding themselves. They're just drinking red Kool-Aid. So, you know, if you take any of these quarterbacks, you immediately know that if the Cardinals start out 1-1, 1-2, that you're going to have the quarterback controversy thing going on.
Which there shouldn't be, because none of these quarterbacks are ready to play, except for maybe one.
Okay, but that's going to happen.
Of course.
In house,
especially here in Phoenix.
Right. And how's Carson going to handle that? Is Carson to the point in his career, it's like, what are you guys talking about? I'm the guy. This guy can't play dead. Is Carson going to mentor? You hear all this stuff that he'll be great in that role. You don't know. Nobody knows how that goes. So if they take a quarterback, then instantly, to me, the conversation goes a whole bunch of different directions. So then you have if you take the cornerback, that's the safest route to go. It's the safest route to go. And if you looked at the way that their corner played opposite Patrick Peterson last season, it wasn't good.
And they used a relatively high pick last year, I believe a second or third rounder on Brandon Williams. So
yes.
What are you saying to Brandon Williams if you take a cornerback with your first
Who was a running back,
pick?
By the way.
That's true.
You know, so
that's true.
So is that a miss?
Speaking of misses, does it concern you at all DeShone Kizer's school and the position he plays and the history of the position he plays at the school that he went to?
I'll tell you what concerns me about DeShone Kizer and his school is Coach Kelly there is not a fan of his.
Yeah.
Have you seen those comments?
I did hear a couple
of
those comments.
Oh, my gosh.
They weren't real ringing endorsements.
No.
And like Brian Kelly's never one to...
Red flags.
Never one to really toe the middle of the road, so
right.
to speak. He's always pretty opinionated in what he says, right or wrong.
But, I think... So what's your point on this?
Notre Dame quarterbacks in the NFL just don't translate.
They don't translate.
They never have. When was the last great one? Joe Montana? Since then? Can you name one?
Rick Meyer wasn't great.
No.
He wasn't.
Brady Quinn, very good analyst, not a good quarterback.
He's a good analyst?
He is.
Okay. Just making sure.
He is.
No, I sure, there's something there, but at some point, don't they break through?
Maybe.
At some point?
Maybe.
Is it just the coaching up that they had? Was it the era that they were in? You mean Jerry Faust didn't get the job done? I don't know.
I just think there's no sure thing with these quarterbacks. There's no Andrew Luck. We know that there is none of these guys are Andrew Luck. Mitchell Trubisky is the highest rated prospect, and he's played a year of college football. So who knows?
Okay, so let me ask you a question about Andrew Luck.
Okay.
What's Andrew Luck done? Now, would I take him on my team? Sure, I would. But what has Andrew Luck done?
He's an elite NFL quarterback.
What's he done? Has he won the biggest stage? The answer is no.
No.
Has he gotten his team to the biggest stage?
No.
Okay.
Is he the problem with the franchise? No.
No.
Is he the best player in the franchise? Yes. Is he one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL? Yes.
If Matt Ryan can get a team to a Super Bowl.
How long did it take Matt Ryan to get the Falcons to the Super
point.
Bowl? Okay.
I'm going a long conversation here to
gotcha.
Say, on the surface, you can say, because there are those... I've read those that say Andrew Luck's a nice quarterback. I would say he's beyond a nice quarterback, okay? And I would take him on my team. I just think with this draft, is it fair to say that Steve has had some misses in the last few years? Everybody has misses. You know, everybody has a miss. So is it fair to say that he has had his misses? Sure. I'm not going to sit here today and say Steve lost his magic touch. As long as David Johnson is carrying a football, you got to be kidding me. You should never, ever, ever question what Steve Keim is doing in his position. Every team screws up picks. You cannot screw it up at quarterback. There are people over at the Cardinals that get mad that I bring up Matt Leinart. The thing is this, it's pretty simple. If you didn't screw up Matt Leinart's pick so badly, I think the organization would have had somebody at that position for the last 10 years. And no, Kurt Warner may not have gotten to where he took the team. And Carson Palmer may not have, but you would have had stability at that position with somebody. Now, fortunately, they were able to find Carson Palmer for a bag of rocks. Fortunately, Kurt Warner came off the scrap heap, even though he doesn't like that term, but it's a fact what happened with the Giants. He's now going to the Hall of Fame. We had a stretch here of several years where we had quarterbacks that for various reasons couldn't play. Thus, the franchise went in the dumper in a big way. And if you miss at that position, so if you take Patrick Mahomes and he misses, or he's just average, or he's Brock Osweiler, now all of a sudden you're in a space where the franchise is going to be set back again. And if they take the quarterback, then you're saying to Drew Stanton, we just don't believe that you can play. And Drew's got to understand that, look, if it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. It's a pretty nice living to hold a clipboard, wear a ball cap, and get a big fat check to back up Carson Palmer. Because he's got a factor in this, too. There's just some things coming down the pike with this quarterback slot. The fact they didn't pursue anybody in free agency, not that I would go that route either. Carson's not at the end of the road yet, but he can see it from there, in my opinion. And so as they're playing this out the next few weeks, if it's me, I probably take the safe pick. I might be in the minority in this. In fact, I'm sure I am. I still believe that they have a window of opportunity with this current cast of characters. I do. I could be dead flat wrong because quarterbacks, when it goes, it goes. Carson get out on the field, and it's gone a little bit with him. He could come out here in 6 months, and it's gone. Larry Fitzgerald, it just takes one nagging hamstring injury, and fortunately he hasn't had that through his career. The optimistic fan that puts down their money, who never sees anything on a question what's going on side of things, would probably say that this team is ready to go. If they just had a kicker and punter last year, they would have had a deep playoff run. I'm not so sure I'm there with that. I think there was more issues than that. The point is, I think there is the window this year. So you don't have to go take the quarterback this year. They may be looking at next year and say Josh Rosen at UCLA, or just go down the list of quarterbacks who's coming out next year and say, I think this is a better way for us to go with this guy in 2018. And once again, we'll have Bruce saying, well, we came this close to getting quarterbacks. We always liked the quarterbacks. And he's just said the same stuff for four straight years. And Steve said the same stuff for four straight years. Michael Bidwell pays them for their opinion. Michael doesn't pay Steve to tell Brad Susmat what's going on with his quarterbacks. I get it. I get it. So if it's me, I'd probably go safe. I'd probably go safe on that one. And I go the secondary. Speaking of quarterbacks, there's one thing on the Cardinals, too, since we're on this little rant. So the preseason schedule came out. I don't care about preseason. It's the biggest ripoff in all of pro sports. I hate August. I'm getting to the point where I just want to take the month of August off, Eric. Is that okay with you? Because you know what you're going to get in me. I am going to be a grumpy curmudgeon and a get-off-my-lawn guy, even though I'm young, because August is the biggest joke when it comes to the NFL. It's the biggest joke. Every week we sit here and analyze what's going on with these worthless preseason games where they gouge fans. Players are just hoping to not get hurt. Most of these guys are going to be doing other occupations other than football, and people get all hyperventilated over it. But there are people that this is their existence. When people say to me, I'm going to a preseason game, can you believe it? And I'll say, no, I can't believe it. How much money did you spend? Well, $200. You are high. You have lost your mind. You need to be checked. Go on a date. It's much cheaper. But some of you get into this stuff. So the Raiders are going to be here and the Bears are going to be here, and they go to Atlanta and they go to Denver. And that's August. Would you be okay if I took August off, Eric? Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, would you?
Of course. It is your company. You can take off whenever you want.
You know this stance that I have on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I get tired of coming in on Monday saying we really have to talk about some guy that was carrying the ball in the fourth quarter who's going to get cut and how good he looks. We're really going to do that today.
Well, you never really conform to that anyway.
Well, I don't, but it's there.
I mean, there are certain takeaways and certain trends you can follow in a preseason schedule.
Like what?
Well, I mean,
are you excited about this schedule? Excited the Bears are coming here.
If the offensive line is bad in the preseason, more often than not, the offensive line is bad in the regular season.
Okay, but I don't want to see the regular season guys playing in preseason, so how am I going to know?
Carson Palmer didn't exactly have the best preseason last year, and it's safe to say Carson Palmer didn't exactly have the greatest regular season, although a lot of it was not his fault.
So what you're saying is I need to see Larry Fitzgerald out on the field in preseason, even though he hates it.
No. No. The worst, Brad, is when you have these training camp stars who flash during the preseason and we all think they're going to be like the second coming of Larry Fitzgerald or David Johnson.
And they get cut.
And by the second game of the season, they're gone.
They're gone. See you later.
They come out and in their first game under the biggest and brightest of lights, they drop an easy touchdown pass or fumble away a kickoff or something and bye.
It's like August has become almost my least favorite month of doing this company. Other than we can start to see college football. There's some games late for college. And we see some high school that's coming along. And so we know that that's coming. And, you know, I'll look forward to the NFL. When the regular season schedule comes out for the NFL, we'll sit here for an hour and we'll do win, loss, win, loss.
Oh, that's my favorite. I love that.
We'll do yeah, we're not going to do that with preseason.
We should record them. I should note them and just throw it in my desk. And then at the end of the year be like, oh, wow, we were really wrong. Who knew that the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to go 14-2?
Preseason game number one against the Cowboys. Is that a win or a loss?
Yeah, No, we're not doing that.
We're just not doing that. So I've addressed it. And as it stands right now, if Myles Garrett is not the number one overall pick by Cleveland, then that's a real shock. And if I'm the Browns, I trade back. I am one of those people. Like if you get the number one overall pick, and it doesn't matter. This even goes over to the Suns. You can sit there with the number one overall pick if you're Ryan McDonough and trade down to 3 or 4 and parlay that into 3 or 4 picks, and all of a sudden you get healthy in a hurry. You can do the same thing for Steve Keim. You can trade down. Or if Steve Keim is in a space where he wants to trade up, if you're at 13, you're right there on the cusp. You're in somewhat of an intriguing spot because you're almost at the halfway mark of the draft. So if a team is sitting there, let's just say it's Cleveland, and they've got multiple assets – another way of saying picks.
For years to come, by the way.
Yeah,
not just this year, but for
right.
like the next 3 or 4
right.
years.
If you are Cleveland, you feel as though, and you're the Cardinals. You're Cardinals, and you say, you know what, we're sitting here at 13, but we want to get up to 4 to take X, Y, or Z. And you're Cleveland, or whoever, whatever the pick is in front of you, you can trade up and have to part with some things. And the Cardinals have shown that. Last year, Chandler Jones trade. That tells you all you need to know about Steve. He's not afraid. Carson Palmer tells you all you need to know on this guy.
And those are arguably two of the best trades that Keim ever made, in my opinion.
Sure. No, they're great. But if he is in a space, if you have a pick that's that high up, and if the Cardinals were in a spot where they had the number one overall pick, I'd be screaming trade back. Just trade back. Keep trading back. Those are the drafts that make the difference. As long as you hit. If you don't hit on the guy, then you are out of luck. So I'm going to take a break here a little early because I want some space on the other side. I'm going to need some room here on what I'm going to get into next. It's the local side. Arizona State's going to meet with a quarterback today that you need to know about that's right here in the Valley. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to tie in the Hamilton High School event last night because that still is a big buzz here in the Valley. And some news on the Suns, too, I want to get to, and that's next. This was last night. I went out to this community event for Hamilton High School, and I felt it was important to go out there and just see what was going on. Because the stories resonated beyond just high school football out in the Southeast Valley. Wherever I go in the circles I'm in, businessmen, dads, people that follow community, they know that what's gone on in Hamilton could happen in their own backyard. It happened at Paradise Valley High School last year, this hazing story, and that it's... I think it's taking down a program that, in my view, there had not been a bigger, better model of consistency than Hamilton High School football with John Wren and Steve Bellis. Those of you that have been in the Valley for longer than a nanosecond should know that that school has been like the preeminent school, not just in football. It's terrific for baseball. It is terrific for golf. There are several golfers that have gone on to the PGA and LPGA tour out of Hamilton High School. It has been a culture of creativeness and a culture of competition in a positive way that has now come tumbling down with this story. Last night was interesting to sit and talk with people that have followed high school and college football and to see them shake their heads about what's happened out there. I mean, I don't see how Steve Bellis returns as the head coach myself. I don't know that as fact. I haven't had anybody say anything to me about it. Nobody's talking because the whole legal thing's going on, but he's been placed on leave. I just don't see him coming back. I'm going to put something up later today. I think it's time for Hamilton to call John Wren. John Wren, those of you who know the sports world in the Valley know John Wren very, very well. John Wren is somebody that I think should be called on. I'm not saying to be the coach, but at least get involved there. And so with spring football just a couple of weeks away, I met this event last night, and somebody brings up this quarterback to meet me. Now, through the years, when I meet somebody that I've been hearing quite a bit about at the quarterback position in high school, you immediately start to talk to them about things, at least in my space, other than football. When I first met Brett Hundley, I wanted to know what made Brett tick. Brett, you could tell very early, was going to go play in the National Football League, and sure enough, he is playing now with the Green Bay Packers and has represented Arizona very, very well on that. Doesn't matter if it's Kyle Allen, who's down at the University of Houston. Help me out here, Eric. There's some others that have just come and gone here in recent years. Quarterback that we've talked about.
Brian Lewerke at Michigan State.
Connor Brewer, of course, went
right.
To, and I got involved and talked with him quite a bit and helped him through his stuff. He's at Virginia, I believe, now, and is pretty much done with football.
Yeah, Ryan Kelly at Basha next
Ryan
year.
Ryan Kelly at Basha. I've talked with him quite a bit.
Bryce Perkins at ASU.
Yep. I mean, so when we see quarterbacks that come along, what's his name from Brophy that you did the piece on, went to Washington State and then went to Louisville and then ended up over at...
ended up at Montana State. Tyler Brugman,
yeah. I mean, it's just a fact. If you're a dad of a lineman or you're a lineman, you're mad that I'm not talking about your kid. It's just a fact that quarterbacks attract the attention. And
Good and bad,
sure. So last night I get introduced to this big strapping kid named Tyler Shuck. And Tyler was offered this last week by Jim Harbaugh. So we have some video of him playing. And I'm bringing this up because Arizona State has not offered him. And there's been people that have been asking, why has he not been offered by Arizona State? Well, I can tell you pretty simply from my point of view, it would kind of help if a coordinator stuck around for longer than, I don't know, a couple months, 6 months, year. So if the kid has been offered by Michigan, then it probably means he should be offered by Arizona State. That's my understanding. He's meeting with Arizona State today. So today, Tyler Shuck is meeting with Arizona State. He is going to be at Missouri this weekend. He is going to go visit Indiana. These are unofficial visits. You look at Michigan, and there's 7 quarterbacks that are sitting there. Is there a reason to go to Michigan? If you're a Michigan fan, sure, you want all of them. Mason Moran's another one. Mason Moran was a good quarterback at Chandler, and then he was just moved to safety this week at Oregon State. It's another name that's come and gone out of our valley. Tyler Shuck, I don't know if he is huge. He's just a large. Remember John Navarre? Remember that Michigan quarterback of the Cardinals drafted? This kid is big quarterback. And kind of a cool story is he's tied in with Brock Purdy over at Perry. They're best friends. They play together on the baseball team, Little League team. And so, you know, it's interesting to see this kid, but he is meeting with Arizona State today. I don't know if they're going to offer him today, if they're going to want to see him throw it first. He's pretty mobile for such a big kid. I guess the question I would have with what's going on over at Hamilton, who's he going to throw the ball to? Because wide receivers have transferred out of the program.
General question, big picture.
Sure.
Do you foresee more things coming down the pipeline with this Hamilton situation?
Yes. Yeah. This is not going to be... Because here's what I...
Because the story, Brad, was so hot a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the embers are burning and you're just waiting for the lava to make its way up and explode through the volcano again.
Yes.
But we're just sort of in, I don't want to say a dead space, but there hasn't been any real new news, and I sort of expect something big to happen. I don't know what.
Well, so last night when I pulled up to this community event, there were more news trucks there from the TV stations than people at first. So, and there were no sports guys that were there last night. Sports guys are just into balls, bats, averages, all that stuff. This has turned into a news side story, although I think the two are one and the same. If you're going to go cover sports, you're going to have to go to cover legal stuff at some point. It's not fun. But especially a as high a profile case as this is, I felt the need to go out there, sure. No, here's what's going to happen on this. They have to make a decision about their head football coach. You're probably, from my view, okay, again, my view, I haven't talked to anybody about this because nobody's talking about it. From my view, you're going to have somebody somewhere is going to say, I'm going to file a lawsuit on this whole deal. That's just the way we are in a litigious society. It's just the way it is. And then you're going to have the kids themselves that go out on the field. And I thought, and I talked to Tyler Shuck last night. I said, so what do you think about all this? He said, I'm playing football. That's the right answer. That is the right answer. You can't, he doesn't, if he does know, he's not going to tell me about it. And so we just talked football on that. But Eric, I think that there's going to be a lot more. Let me just put it this way. The worst is not over out there yet. So, and you don't know how pervasive this is through the whole campus. You don't know if this is just a football only thing. You don't. You may hear that. They may say that. I don't know that. So but I would call John Wren. I'm going to publish that and there'll be people get all mad. I think it's time to call John Wren. He was 91-11 as the coach there. He won a bunch of titles. Yes, it was many, many years ago. I'm not saying he should be the head coach, but I'm saying it certainly wouldn't hurt the program. And, you know, in these schools that are trying to convince kids to transfer out of there, that's going to happen. It doesn't matter if it's Arizona. If Arizona State or U of A had something happen to them, if the Cardinals had something happen to them, kids recruit kids, players recruit players. That's how it works.
Man, speaking of the kids, I wonder when spring workouts start.
2 weeks.
If there is going to be any malaise over the program or if these kids or if these kids are just going to go out and ball like they always have. And once you put on the cleats and the shorts and get out there and start throwing the ball around in spring practice, it's just the same as it's been.
For what we do, okay, for what we do here, I can't speak for everybody else in our industry, in the sports media. But in sports media, everybody should be covering this story. Everybody should. But it's got a lot of layers. Some people, it's below them to go cover high schools, which I don't know why that is. But I've talked to them. It's primarily TV guys. Why are you out here? This is not the Cardinals. You don't get it. You just do not get community then. So, I think there will be more to come out here. And this is a story that will resonate through all different ages, all different shapes, sizes, dads, moms. I saw dads and moms out there crying their eyes out last night. And their kids aren't even at the program anymore. It's just they were so invested in that program, if that makes sense. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Pro College, high school, college pro. Makes no difference to me. Things that we see across the valley, across the state, a little bit different, off-center. We are Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Did Edwin screw up today? Kind of. Edwin screwed up a little bit. We let Edwin Rodriguez jump in briefly, and he screwed up a little bit, but not bad. We'll bring him back. Of course, Eric Sorensen does a great job day in and day out. Thanks for being with us.